Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. Our game for this episode is Papers, Please. It's a bureaucracy simulator.
You play as a customs officer border security guy in a fictional Eastern Bloc Soviet...
Arstotzka. Glory to Arstotzka! What you're doing is you're checking people's entry papers to get into a country.
And the game constantly... Are you going to have enough money to survive?
Well, if you switch them on and off between them, then...
Good old min-maxer here. Just starve your family on alternating
exactly.
days.
Exactly!
That's Sunday, which means that you starve, but tomorrow you eat and you freeze.
Exactly!
Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
Some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge, and lay maintained with a course aimed at colleges. To HG101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk Alada, Xerxes, the host of Proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others. Discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and if they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
I was hoping you'd be dead so that I'd be debt-free.
We are looking at today, Chips Challenge. This game was nominated to us by Libtard101 on Stitcher. the original developer was Epyx, which, I don't... How do you actually... Is it pronounced Epyx? E-P-Y-X. I've never really known how to... Epyx?
Epyx? I always pronounce it Epyx.
Epyx, because, yeah, it's like... Is it? It's not Epyx Mega Games. It's just Epyx. The
Top,
I don't know.
Epyx Pro.
Because yeah, that's the company. It was published, kind of by a few companies because it's had like literally 10 or 12 different versions. Published by Atari, published by Epyx, published by Microsoft. Because well, Chips Challenge was. We'll get to that. It was released first on the Atari Lynx as a launch title in 1989. It was rapidly ported to all of the, I think most or all of the Euro 8-bit computers. It was dumped onto DOS, and then later it was ported to Windows. And that's Windows, famously Windows 3.1, because apparently Epyx does not understand the value of an exclusive on their system called the Lynx. I mean, this game... is really relative. I assume I'm not gonna. I have a hard time calling this game famous because I don't think anyone will have heard of it now. But everyone listening to the show knows the name Chips Challenge. I'm just gonna assume because.
Speaking of names,
I don't have a name. My name is Chips.
That's good. I'm Texel there.
And my name is Clay.
Can't believe you managed to get the names in right there. So Chips Challenge is if you've. Not super familiar with it, you should be. It was basically you play as the titular Chips. The challenge is for him to perform, but it is not his challenge. The challenge is actually presented by, is it Marion?
Melinda.
Melinda.
Melinda the Mental Marvel.
I know, they love their alliteration.
Yep, they sure do.
And so he wants to join the exclusive, is it Bit Blasters or Bit Busters Club?
Bit Busters.
Thank you. I'm glad you've got the manual open there. You're looking at it.
Yeah.
It's also presented in the game. It'll tell you all of these fine details. And in order to do that, Melinda challenges him to a series of incredibly insane challenges in order to join the club, most of which involve the threat of immediate death. So, yeah. What is he like, 14? 12?
Something like
He's
that.
He's pretty young to be subjected to giant man-eating teeth and raging fires. But
how old were you the first time you saw your giant man-eating teeth? Out of curiosity.
Also, where does this take place? Do Melinda's parents just have a massive estate where she has built some sort of like gigantic maze of doom?
It's 144 levels too, so it's a pretty big. Unless she like runs in and shuffles it, I don't know if she it moves around like the cube or something. Like it's not actually that big, and they just they run in and they swap all the pieces out between challenges. Like,
yeah, but part of it is on fire.
Well, yeah,
depending on the version, sometimes it's just fire, and sometimes it's a campfire, which is a little bit weirder.
Think that'd be easier to walk around. Abstract. Well, yeah, and he's like 8 in that version too. So just by the look of his sprite.
Yeah, so, I mean, really, this is a whole just a stupid-ass framing device for the core game, which was developed and kind of entirely concepted by a guy named, I believe it's Chuck Somerville, and he worked at Epix, and I think he was just doing some, as programmers want to do, he was just dicking around on his computer, like, I'm just whipping out ideas and kind of knocked out this sort of prototype for this game, showed it to the people over at Epix, where he worked. And they went, this is pretty cool. We're making the Lynx. Let's make this game as well for the Lynx. And ironically, this is probably the singular most successful thing to be on and go through the Lynx. And it probably was the biggest afterthought in the entire thing's development. That's how it works, I guess.
Wait, do you mean this is the most successful Lynx game on the Lynx, or the most successful game on the Lynx that was successful somewhere else later?
It's actually kind of both. It was considered to be the Lynx's killer app, which, if Cheeps Challenge is your killer app, you have to start panicking. It's really important.
It's published by Capcom.
Yeah, this isn't quite Super Mario Brothers, I'm afraid.
No, it's like, Nintendo,
no, it's better,
like,
damn it.
They slide Tetris across the table, they're like, check it out, Tetris. And then Atari and Epix run in, they're like, Cheeps Challenge, there you go. You'll love it. It is pretty good, though. I really like the game. So it's basically Sokoban made interesting. That's, to me, is the entire game. It's a top-down game where you play as a Chip and you run through a, honestly, fairly banal maze sort of environment. I find it way too clean. I don't care for the look of this game at all. I think it's its biggest weakness is the...
Yeah, considering how many other children probably have died in that maze, it is very clean.
Man, I really love murderer. Frank's challenge.
Yeah.
Tom's challenge.
I mean,
there's far shorter games.
Well, they didn't have any alliteration, and that was their downfall. You know,
Chuck's
later on,
there
was Chuck's Challenge, yes, which is an unrelated, related game from the same guy, starring an alien, I think, but.
Yeah. It's a
Chip's Challenge. You basically run around mazes. It's kind of like, really, like you run around mazes. There is a series of obstacles, all of which have predictable behavior, which is really important because it is mostly a puzzle game, but also an action game.
Yeah, you need some dexterity, but for the most part, even though there's a time limit, you're generally encouraged to stop a moment, observe what your enemies are doing. It's mostly, I think it's bugs in the Windows 3.1 version and just some abstract spheres that move back and forth, observe them and then make your move. So you don't really have to like hectically jump around or anything.
I want the listeners to remember that part because I'm going to come back to that later.
Well, I know, okay, you kind of have to, but theoretically you don't have to.
Well, yeah, there's something I want to bring up when we're talking about the problems with this game.
There's 144 levels and Each one will take you between 1 minute to 1 to 2 hours, depending on the level. And there's a pretty decent mix-up of things that happen. Like, there's various tiles that are, as we said, on fire, or conveyor belts that make you move around, water that just instantly drowns you. Which, really, water and fire are almost the exact same thing in this game. I don't think there's any functional difference other than they're both gates that stop you from doing things.
You get a different death message, but that's mostly it.
I think in the Windows 3.1 version, you drown. Yes. But in the original Lynx game, I believe you just explode into particles every time you die, and it just says, oops. I think it says that in all versions, but it's kind of funny because Chip just spontaneously combusts, whereas he literally combusts in the 3.1 version, which is a little dark, just a little bit.
Yeah, at the same time, like Chip's feet seem to be magical, because as long as he's wearing his flippers, he can swim.
That seems fair enough. Like, that is probably the least relevant one.
Yeah,
but
he also has fireproof shoes, which allows him to walk on fire. Shoes.
I want to talk about that really quick, because as a kid, I always thought those existed. I was really disappointed to find out that wasn't the case.
Well, I guess you kind of have, like, fireman's boots, which are somewhat resistant to fire, but it still doesn't mean that you should just walk into a fire just wearing the boots.
Well, no.
That's still a bad idea.
But when you're
it has overalls, too, and overalls can be fire suppressive. You know, that's firemen wear overalls, too, right? I mean, firemen wear overalls. That's what they wear, usually, isn't it?
Well, they also wear coats.
Yeah.
Maybe Chip should have got a
special pants.
I would genuinely buy that Chip wears special pants. That is a 100% chance that he does, indeed, wear some form of special pant. Yeah.
There's also ice on the floor, for which you need ice skates. And there's, I think, sticky floor. For which you need.
No, there's not sticky floor. There's conveyor belts.
The green one?
Yeah.
That's the green one.
Okay, yeah.
Suction cup boots.
Oh, your boots are sticky, not the floor. Yeah.
Yes. And I wanted those too as a kid.
Which doesn't even make sense, because they would actually make it harder to walk on a conveyor belt. I think I should point that out.
I've never thought about that until this moment.
I think they were pretty much guaranteed that.
Getting
off the conveyor belt.
They'd need, like, reverse rocket boots to go faster or something?
Reverse rocket boots? What the hell does that mean?
Look, you go forward, and then you go forward while you're going backwards. It's hard to describe how this
works. Add the silly thing in reverse.
It makes sense in context. It should also be noted that the Chip wears all those boots at the same time, for some reason.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't know how he does it, so he has, like, fire shoe flipper ice skates.
He just quickly flips them out between each step.
You put the suction cups on the ice skates.
In the Lynx version, he does actually just, he gets sticky boots, or I think they're, like, nail boots or something. I believe he gets, does he get flippers? I don't think he gets, he gets something else, and then he actually just gets a water shield and a fire shield. He does not get fire retarded boots or, like, magic other things. He gets just a shield that makes him immune to fire and, I believe, water. I think ice is a different thing. So there's a kind of, they make a few changes. That's one thing. So I guess before we do talk about the rest of the game, we should probably mention the port, because to an extent, it is the most important aspect that the game got. So, basically, the game came and went, and it was popular on the Lynx, which meant that about 100 to 200 people played it. And it was also, like, perfectly successful on the 8-bit computers, because it's a pretty good game. Like, it's fine, you know? Like, it's a nice, interesting little puzzle action-y game that was kind of relatively popular. And you could actually physically finish it, which would have made it much more popular.
It also gives you passwords. It's password. It's graphically not very demanding, but it looks somewhat interesting. And since it doesn't really have any jump physics or anything, you can pretty much port it to anything without having to worry about doing too much programming, because this isn't technically super complicated.
No, and that leads really into what would happen to the game, and what would kind of make it a long stay, a game that really stuck around for an abnormally large amount of time, is that when Microsoft were putting together their entertainment packs for Windows, and these were, they weren't like pack-in for Windows, but they were like upsells, right? Like, you would buy a Windows system, and then the people selling you the computer would be like, hey, you want an entertainment pack? It's only like $5 or whatever. I never bought a computer in 1991, so I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, it's a bit of a predecessor to the pack-in games that would come with Windows 3.1 and later, but they were a little bit more advanced than that. But I think the closest contemporary is probably the Nintendo Switch like game collection they have. It's a little bit like that, so it just gives you something to do with your device, even if you don't have any other games for it.
Yeah, because basically, obviously, Windows usually came with Solitaire, and it often came with Minesweeper. And then there was also the Entertainment Pack, which was a collection of games that mostly were, I think, in-house from Microsoft. Various people in Microsoft just threw together games, I thought. I didn't think that most of those games were externally licensed. I always felt that they were mostly from an internal
team. At least they felt like it, because for the longest time, I actually thought this was a Microsoft game, because I knew it from that collection, and I always knew it as one of those Microsoft games.
Although Pipe Dream always gets licensed to the NES, LucasArts, or whatever it is. Like, I always remember, like, you can click on the About screen on that, so I'm not 100% sure how that all worked. But it was very clearly, you could see in, like, the credits, quote-unquote, for that game, it said LucasArts. And I was always wait a second.
What happened was Epix sold the game, or got the game, to Microsoft, who totally agreed that it suited their little entertainment pack, and so it ultimately ended up on literally millions of computers. And being that it was computers were everywhere, Windows was everywhere, and kids would be looking for video games on pretty much every computer that they got near if they liked video games, you found this game on a lot of computers, even from people that didn't really play games. They ended up with the entertainment packs because it was on, I think, Entertainment Pack 4 and Best of the Entertainment Pack, so hard to dodge this one. So, you know, it was someone might buy it because they want Free Cell or whatever, and then they ended up with Ski Free and Chips Challenge, and then we all played Chips Challenge like that. Even though I owned a Lynx, I never saw Chips Challenge in the wild. This was Windows 3.1. That was the first version of this one I played.
Yeah, and this game is also about 200 kilobytes, so you never really need to uninstall it. So even back in the day, this didn't really take any space. So once it was on your machine, it probably stayed there.
Yeah, I mean, why would you? You wouldn't delete this. It's got the word Microsoft in the name. Don't delete Microsoft products. You'll ruin your computer somehow.
They put very important DLLs in Chips Challenge.
I would believe that. I don't know. Like, I feel like they must have, like, got, like, it must have, like, someone either at Microsoft or, like, Epix himself were like, all right, it's about collecting computer chips. You play as a nerd. And Bill Gates is like, yeah, man, put that on the system. Yeah.
Oh, and you named the main girl after Melinda.
Ah!
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, they really sold that one well.
Yeah. So
that's smart.
So how many children did Bill Gates' wife try to kill?
Just trying to get the podcast shut down here. Like, I'm going to take on one of the richest people in the world. I'm going to insult his wife. Like, good idea.
a woman famously known for helping children.
I'm just
working. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole literacy program is actually.
I'm just working with the material here. So, I mean,
this is terrible material. So,
yes.
The thing about the Chips Challenge is that apparently, including to keep the file size down, it's got some voice samples, which I don't think are on the Lynx version. I could be wrong. Yeah, we're going to have to. You've said it before. Are you going to keep saying it? He's got some other things, doesn't he? Does he say something else? I don't know. Does he have, like, a victory chant?
I only remember Bummer.
Well, that's good. I'm glad for that.
Maybe because I'm terrible at this game.
Apparently, I am being told, because I am terrible with music, that the somewhat famous in Windows all the time MIDI track, canyon.midi, or .mid, is actually used in Chips Challenge. So that's pretty cool. You know,
say,
that's
how, Cal. Pretend that, somebody doesn't know what that is.
I refuse to explain it.
Say tax.
No. Excuse me?
It's a MIDI that's on a lot of versions of Windows. What do you want from me? That's literally it.
It's not.
It's
like
the tester MIDI.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They just have, like, they got, like, what is it? It's Road Trip, I think, is another one. Like, roadtrip.mid. There's some, like, other, like, cloud one or something. Look, the important thing is that because it contains a Microsoft Windows MIDI, it really, really seems like it's a Microsoft game. But it's not exactly. The Windows 3.1 version, actually not that good. I hate to say it, but it converts the game from Chip physically moving through space, like he's an actual, like, moving character, and it converts it to singular tile-based steps.
Oh, yeah, it's very jarring.
It's actually a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's very jarring. It's not great at all. They also, because Windows 3.1, they kind of had to get drag and drop in there, which they couldn't. Instead, you can move Chip with a mouse cursor, which I do not recommend. I don't know why you would ever do that, why you would ever not use the arrow key. It's terrible.
Dad tried, as I recall. He tried that a lot, and he was like, I can't do this. This is terrible.
No, the mouse controls, they're not very precise, and combined with the like jarring tile-by-tile movement that Kyle mentioned, it's a horrifying combination.
And the other thing, if you're wondering, the graphics take a hit. Chip looks kind of worse, and although I don't mind some of the changes, like the giant teeth, which are crazy, are now these weird-looking giant teeth plant monsters, which actually is pretty cool. I don't mind them. Some of the changes are okay. I think changing the shields to boots is kind of a little bit better. It's also because they have individual graphics. If you're not great with colors, I think it works a bit better. I like that they changed the conveyor belts to color instead of just flat gray, because it makes the levels look a lot more interesting. Although animations are completely removed from the game. And actually, the worst part, and this is, you'd be surprised how frustrating this gets when you, if you go and play the Lynx version, or if you play the recent Steam port, which I believe is kind of an amalgamation of the Lynx version and the Windows version.
Yeah.
It's a little odd, but it's probably the best way to play the game. But in the original game, when Chip pushes things, he actually pushes them, so he moves blocks forward. In the Windows 3.1 version, it is so easy to accidentally overtap a block, which is incredibly frustrating because there's no takebacks. In, I don't know about the Steam port, because honestly I didn't play it, but there is no takebacks. So, unlike Quark, which lets you take like 30 or 40 or 100 moves back, Chip does not let you undo a bad move. Which, yes, it's an action game, and so it's not common to be able to take back actions unless you're a Prince of Persia. You can't take back a misstep. In the Lynx version, you don't misstep as much, because when you push something, Chip is pushing it, so you kind of get like a hard half second where you can release the button and you won't accidentally over-push it, which is really important when you push the blocks into water and then have to step on them to make them go from mud to platform. It's a thing. It's got some little complex things like that in there. In the Windows version, it's insane because you'll just hold forward and just drown immediately. Not great. Don't do that.
My mind is blown. I didn't realize that that had been changed.
It has been changed, and once you notice it, or once you play the Lynx version, you're like, wow, they really made this version worse. Considerably worse.
It is pretty bad, especially because some of the later challenges are somewhat complex, and what I found most irritating was that they've got an easy start, so you have to go through that over and over again, and always pay attention if you don't move this one block into a corner, and then do the actual hard part where you have to dodge teeth or bugs or whatever, and just gets really old really quickly, because you're not really doing the initial puzzle again, because you've already solved it, so there's no challenge. So at this point, the game's just kind of wasting your time.
Yeah,
the challenge the without point, a challenge is just chips.
Yeah, that's the thing. And
that's the story.
I mean, Quark had a rewind function, and Quark was on the Game Boy, so that was not a super powerful system, so there's little excuse that this game shouldn't do that as well.
In this game, it's really frustrating, too, because a lot of the solutions are literally, like, square by square movement, like up, left, down, down, right, left, left, right, up, left, left, down, right, left, left.
I wasn't kidding when I said that it's a Sokoban. Like, it doesn't necessarily immediately strike you as one, but there is a lot of pushing things to other things and lining up things into other things. And
yeah.
It gets pretty nuts because there are things like you can push a block into a teleporter, which you then have to maneuver yourself to a different spot to teleport in a different direction through the teleporter to push the block where it needs to go. It's cool stuff. Like, for 1989, I think it's quite a, like, not necessarily forward-thinking, but at least it has, like, a lot of ideas for Sokoban, considering that, you know, the Game Boy at that exact time was happy to put out just a straight-out Sokoban. Like, just, like, literally go push some blocks. So I think this one's got a lot of ideas that are really, like, okay, well, every level is sort of fresh and interesting enough, and they're quite, like, some of them could be quite thematic, like, just, oh, this is the challenge in this level, and this level has a completely different kind of challenge. A lot of them do come down, though, to basically being, it's a maze where you get a key, and then you have to go somewhere else to, with that key to get the next key, and repeat that 3 times to 10 times, because you can actually have the key show up multiple times, and, boy, it does get exhausting, some of the challenges. And as we said, yeah, and then at the very end, there'll be a guy that eats you, and then you have to do the whole thing again, which is...
Yeah, this game had did color-coded keys before Doom did it. Something I just realized.
There's also a fun rule. Green keys are always reusable.
Okay.
That's clever.
Are they?
For no reason.
For no reason, and it's always confused me. And they're the only ones that do it, and I've never quite understood why.
It's just because.
That sounds like something that was a bug, and then they turned it into a feature because it was easier to adjust the levels than trying to fix the bug.
Well, because it makes sense, because then you can have a key that opens all the doors, and then you can have keys that are perishable. I mean, Chip has quite a few of those things where it does that. As I said, the fire and water are basically the same, other than they make you get fire boots or water boots. And yeah, there's other, like, I'm going to have to mention some of the other hazards that are in there, because there's some cool stuff. Like, there's a thief that steals all your stuff. It's kind of funny, because in the original version, it looks like one of those, like, outlaw cowboy sort of guys. And in the Windows 3.1 version, it's just like an FBI guy or something. Like,
is he incognito?
Or like a flasher?
Yeah, I think it's probably a guy who's investigating, like, the gigantic skyscraper that devours children.
Get out of here,
Hey, kid, give me those suction cup boots. Those don't even make sense. Give them here.
I like them. It's some good stuff. I really like that some of the puzzles get really devious when you've got stuff like cloners and things, which is really, like, it's cool stuff.
They're really intricate puzzles. And see, the nice thing, too, is, like, those, I always call them spies, I guess. Like, those, like, the puzzles will just incorporate them. You'll just, the game will whomp you right into them at the end of, like, one half of a puzzle and goes, all right, collect everything else now.
Yeah, like, it's quite a clever thing. But again, it's really genuinely hamstrung by how frustrating it is to play a puzzle for 2 minutes and then basically have it go, well, you're dead, Chip. Go do the puzzle again. Because it's not a puzzle at that point. It's solved. No. And that's kind of also the worst thing about a Sokoban in general is you're like, okay, well, I need to get this block there. And once you've got it there, it's like, cool, I've solved this puzzle. I never want to do this puzzle again because it has no... There's nothing left for me to solve. I did it. And then in this Sokoban, a guy comes out and kills you. And it's like, well, that sucked.
Yeah, I think it's a general issue with games that aren't really dexterity-based. If you get sent back to a checkpoint in a platformer or an action game or like a shmup, then you have to overcome the challenge again. It might be a bit easier because you've done it before, but here there's no real challenge because you just solved the puzzle. So it's essentially just taking away some time and frustrating you. But to be fair, the game does introduce most of the new obstacles and puzzle pieces and whatnot in some tutorial-esque stages. It's not a true tutorial, it's just a stage that's a little bit easier and introducing new elements, especially at the beginning. So they put some effort into that, even though it doesn't really elevate frustration.
Now that you mention it, there's question marks. All the stuff is actually in the game, which is always nice to see. You can walk over little tiles that have question marks, and it will explain the thing, the feature. So it might say, this guy steals your items, or this thing needs to do this, and that's... You don't have to read the manual, is what I'm saying. You legitimately can just start the game and play it, which is nice, especially for a handheld game where you probably don't even necessarily have the manual with you at that time. You just, you know, you took the game out of the cartridge, out of the packet, you put in the cartridge slot. It's trapped in there forever because you can't remove Link's cartridges. And I'm serious, that's a real thing. You can laugh, but there's literally a problem with the Link's. They had to remake cartridges because they couldn't be removed from the Link's. Oh, wow. That
explains why you have
why it sold so poorly. Yeah,
that explains why you have multiple Link's as Cal, because you just have one per game.
Yes.
That's
right. No, seriously, it's really great. Look it up. They're, what is it, rigid cartridges. I think they call them curved cartridges. And is it dots? There's a third type of cartridge. There's 3 cartridge types. It's real.
That's two more than there should be, really.
It's definitely, and the great thing was, the third one, they're like, well, you can't stack them, so, meanwhile, Nintendo's just literally like, you just make them square, and it's like, damn it, why didn't we think of that? It's rough. All right, so other than to say that, like I've been repeatedly saying, the Lynx version is the best one, other than maybe the PC one. The Lynx version has really cool music. It's really nice, energetic, fun arcade music. You will listen to it and like it. It's some of the best music on the Lynx, actually. Really nice, peppy stuff. It's not in any version of the game other than the Lynx one, I think. But if you do happen to go and grab the Steam version, I did check it out. Some people did basically set up a nice, easy mod to dump the Lynx music in there, so you can have some, like, nice quality music in the game. It actually is really pleasant music to listen to, but if you try and emulate the game, I don't know, I've tried to emulate the game with the Handy emulator. I don't know if it's called Handy. Leave me alone here, people. That's the original name of the Lynx. I'm gonna say that again, too. It doesn't actually emulate the music at all. It tries to, and it's like, bleep, 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 really, the some reason Chip's Challenge music just emulates horribly. It's really bad. Maybe some other emulator does it, but just gonna say, if you happen to do that,
I don't think,
like,
there is another
wow.
emulator.
No, there really isn't. That's why I'm saying, you'll boot it up and be like, this guy said the music was good, but it sounds like my ears are being attacked by 1,000 knives at once. So I think wrong.
What Kel wants to tell us here is, get an original Lynx.
I'm literally telling you to buy a Lynx. That is, if you've
put my contribution on the eBay.
Yeah, like, I'm not selling my Lynx. You don't want my Lynx. The D-pad's kind of spongy at this point.
Oh, darn. Here are all those Lynx games I was going to play.
Yeah.
You should play this Lynx game. It's pretty good. Well, we do have to rank it.
We have to talk about the box art, at least for...
All right. Yes, of course. Definitely. The box art.
It's great box art. It's really colorful.
I know, but...
It has one of those digital fonts, just to know that it's all, like, chippy and, like, video gamey.
It's one of those digital fonts before they knew what a computer font should look like.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't like an alarm look...
Clock. And on the Lynx cover, Chip is actually... He's got a Walkman. So he's got cutting-edge technology there. Also, he's jumping...
He's got a Walkman, and it's...
He's jumping into space, and space is on fire. And he's being chased by fake teeth.
The thing is, like, the back half of the Lynx box is just, like, very literal. It looks exactly like... All of it is accurate to the game. And then Chip, for some reason, is jumping, which he can't do, into space, which I don't believe happens. But he does have very trendy sneakers. I will point that out. He has some real trendy sneakers. He has cool headphones, and for some reason, I think his pocket is on the wrong side. I am looking at it right now. His pocket is on the right?
It's on the right.
Is usually on the left?
Yeah, but the thing is that he's holding this golden key, which would cover the pocket otherwise, so that's why.
Yeah, I know.
He could have two pockets, you see.
He could
he's
have
that much
that,
of a nerd. Two
he would definitely
protectors.
Do that.
Definitely.
It's great pens. Stuff. But for some reason... There's a bomb on the exit, which I don't think ever happens if you want the integrity of the game.
Yeah, but...
I will now read from the European box art. Their eyes met across the laboratory. The chemistry was instantaneous. Chip's Challenge!
Yeah.
That's seriously what it says.
Yeah, on the European box cover, Chip is wearing a hoodie with dungarees over the hoodie. Also, he's being chased by Optimus...
Cold.
No, he's being chased by Optimus Prime's... decapitated head.
And yeah, like you got like it's. It looks like an engine block with spider legs.
Yeah, it looks like something from Gundam. Also, Melissa is also on the cover. She's holding a gigantic chip, but she's touching the contacts, and that really bothers me.
Yeah, I mean, like her seventh hand.
Marvel, my foot.
This is called Chip's Challenge. You have to get the chip content. Right.
Like, the key content is 2 on that box, because Chip is jumping through the air again, holding a key, but he also has a cutout of his own head holding a key as well. He's really into the keys in this one.
That's
for some reason, they're the same color, even though there's 4 colors of keys. But everything is wrong on that box art. It's all wrong. Everything's off-grid. The teeth are the wrong color.
That's true. The teeth look like disfigured frogs on this version here. They recolored almost everything, which is a bit odd, because they didn't really have to do that. Also, the fire is still on the box art, but it's very small in the lower right-hand corner. I don't know why they even did that.
It looks like this box art, they did a full image, and then they truncated it. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
So I really want to see the full of that box art. So anyone that has the original Chip's Challenge box art, please send it to me. I will pay you $5 Australian. But it has to be the original art. I need the original painting. Nothing short of that. We do have to rank this for real now.
Yep. Yeah.
I know we had to talk about the box because it's pretty cool box art. But
so this one, Lemmings, is 212.
Yes, it is indeed. That's Lemmings.
And
I guess I gotta say 203, which is a little bit above Lemmings, is Quirk.
Quirk,
I deliberately mentioned simply because they're very similar games.
Quirk's better than this. Sorry.
You think Quirk is better?
Quirk has a rewind, and Quirk's characters are really cute.
Goddamn rewind.
So, my other thing is I think... Okay, so because I wanted to mention this. So, we talked about enemies, and we talked about how you can be patient and watch for them, and there's way too many levels where that's not true. You can get blindsided by enemies, and that's nonsense. And that makes it worse than Lemmings.
Well, at least this game, I think Lemmings actually does that as well. There's no lives, by the way. Anyone listening, there's no lives. Yeah, you can continue an infinite number of times, at least.
Yeah, and you do have the passwords anyway, so a life system would really be pointless because you would just re-enter the last password and there you go.
A life system being pointless literally never stops someone from incorporating a life system into their game.
That's
ever.
True.
That's and not
calling you out, Nintendo.
Oh, and a continue system on top of the life system.
Yeah. But anyway.
To be honest.
I wanted to bring up Lemmings because these games both have the problem where you lose and then you have to redo the puzzle in the exact same steps again, and it's terrible and it's the worst.
Yeah.
So the great thing is Lemmings is actually one of the other Lynx games that's really expensive. Good to know if you're interested. Just
the
so you know.
The two best Lemming games.
No, Lemmings is not really good on the Lynx. It's more of a it literally functions. That's pretty cool. It's expensive because I believe it's one of the only third-party games. I think Psygnosis bought it themselves.
Yeah, my theory was that everybody who bought Lemmings put into their Lynx couldn't remove it, and thus the non-played copies of Lemmings for the Lynx are super expensive.
Yeah, you have to buy a whole system. It's this whole thing.
to be honest,
four copies of Lemmings left.
I'm looking at 349, which is Goof Troop, which is vaguely similar.
Oh, jeez.
I think
just because I know you like Goof Troop. I remember this now.
Yeah, you do. And if you didn't, I would remind you of it. And I think this is actually worse than Goof Troop.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Thank goodness Clayton apparently agrees with me in this instance.
Great.
I just played Goof Troop, and boy, I don't know if I like Goof Troop that much.
Well, I definitely didn't like Goof Troop. That's why it ended up with 349.
But Clayton, would you play Goof Troop over Chip's Challenge or not?
Yeah, I've been playing this game on and off now for like 20 years, so...
Well, that's...
I will point out that I don't believe any of us have finished this game.
No.
No one in the history of the world has ever finished this game.
And I will point out that we could finish this game in that we could go get the password for level 140-something, depending on what version, as some versions have an extra level or two.
Yeah.
We could do that right now and finish the game. That's physically possible.
Yes.
But
if somebody has actually played from level 1 to level 1 from...
Oh, yeah.
I like to make a joke where I send you guys to email, like Xerxes or Cal. No, literally, hit me up at The Great Clade. I want proof. I want to see this.
Every single level completed, the screenshot or the LP of the whole game. I mean, this game is insane because your Lynx would run out of battery like 30 times over trying to get to the end of this game.
I'll give you my spot on the podcast if you do this on the Lynx.
Well, yeah, sure, fair enough. But you can use the AC adapter as always.
Okay.
I've been so wasted.
I do think... I think it's like... I like this game in terms of, like, it's a pretty decent game in terms of, like, technical stuff for 89. It's quite cool. Like, you could have this game, if you check it out, you could have played this game in 1989 on a handheld device. That's pretty cool. A lot of people do genuinely like this game. I don't know whether it's a sort of curious nostalgia for the Microsoft Windows Entertainment Pack. I definitely know that I have a, despite myself, I'm like, whoa, I feel nostalgic for Chip's Challenge. Even though I play it, I'm like, I don't like this all that much, but it just wormed its way into my head through all these...
But it has a number of nifty ideas.
One of my favorite just kind of waiting games, though.
I do like that it is level-based in at least a way that all you need is a password and you can keep your progress, which is nice. And the passwords are only four letters long, so that's always nice. You know, nothing outrageous. It's not trying to hide itself away. And there's some cute stuff in there. Like, some of the levels have, like, hints in their names instead of them just being generic names, which I thought was really cool. It's got some cute stuff going on, and I think that it's, at the very least, it's got 140-plus puzzles that you know, it does try to offer you a wide variety of puzzles between ones that are purely, like, just basically logic puzzles and puzzles that are more dexterity-based. Even if it falls down with the dexterity stuff, I will say that the, presumably the newest version and the Lynx version, and maybe some of the other PC ports, you know, it does actually work fairly well. It's the 3.1 version that does kind of rebalance things in a way that does make it a little weaker. So 327 is Landstalker. I think it's better than Landstalker.
I don't know if I can let it go above Tetris Attack at 306. I know they're weird, different puzzle games, but Tetris Attack's like one of my...
Landstalker is isometric, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, we can put above Landstalker then.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think my ceiling on this is 306, though.
Okay. Well, I think we can work with this pretty well. 319 is Plaque Attack, which is about fighting inside a giant mouth. How does it measure up to fighting against giant mouths?
To be honest, Plaque Attack probably has less content, but it's also, I think it's also older, and it was for the Atari, so Plaque Attack is actually pretty decent within, like, for its time and everything.
This was pretty decent for its time. I think that the biggest frustration is that we don't have as much time, and we know that we could have had a rewind feature. Like, those are the...
That's
if this
true.
Game had a rewind feature, I would be looking easily upwards of 200. Like, I would just be, like, immediately straight up there.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. Holy War.
Look, so something that we haven't mentioned, and I would be remiss to mention this, the original Chips Challenge on 3.1, even though I've just finished slandering it, did have, I believe, a level editor, and there was actually a small community that shared levels across BBSs and stuff. Like, that was a thing that you could do back in the day. So that's, I thought that was pretty cool. Like, it did one of these games that came with a level editor and a little community of, fans sharing levels around, which is always cool, especially when you're kind of talking, what, like, 1991-ish of people swapping levels around. That's pretty neat, and I like that. Also, the new Steam release has a whole big level editor so that you can
that
do levels as well now if you really want to. Where the hell is the Unholy War? You gotta say these numbers or I'm gonna get really... 310, yes. I found it, yeah.
Okay, this is not better than Far Cry.
You don't think it's better than Far Cry, which is 311?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm looking down a tiny bit. God, I can't believe you put Oxyverse, what I think is low. I can't tell. That game is...
This brutal. Is pretty low.
I like this more than Abzu at 313.
Yeah, Abzu's kind of poor man's Echo the Dolphin, so...
Oh, yeah. You can barely even ride a dolphin. And if you can't ride a dolphin in a game about dolphins, it's a bad game.
Yeah.
That is...
You know what? I'm okay with just putting this below Far Cry, but above Abzu, and I'll leave it up to you guys to judge whether this should go above or below Akashiverse.
Akashiverse! That game... That game literally destroyed my ability to think.
All right, which is below Akashiverse, because that's fun.
Yeah, I guess it's a better puzzle game, because I never stopped being able to think during Chip's Challenge, whereas Akashiverse, because why not? That'll do. It's certainly not as good as Ski Free, so it's not even the best game on the Microsoft Entertainment Pack, so which I guess puts it at 313. Which is replacing Abzu. So we now have Chip's Challenge at 313.
Just say it's above Abzu.
Above Abzu and below Akashiverse. And I hope that we never have to say that name again. Chip's Challenge, I don't mind saying.
Boom.
It's a little bit of alliteration. It's a nice name. Does anyone have anything to run us out on for Chip's Challenge?
To be honest, you really only need... It's one of those games where you can... I think Flappy Special is better. But, well, we just put it below Quirk, so obviously it's not the best of its genre. And we got to find...
Yeah.
That's really good. To be honest, playing this really only takes you maybe 10 to 20 minutes, and you actually might progress to the time at which other games haven't even stopped with their opening cutscene. So you can give it a go without really investing too much time.
Yeah.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know, I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel,
and by following at GCNRX and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HGDiscord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.